into the word. We're over in Mark chapter 11. Mark 11. And guys, if you're not doing anything in the media booth, you can come get your seat and get your books. Get ready to take notes and eat the word. All right. Mark 11 verse 15. So they came where? All right. We're not ready yet. Let's go together. Let's lift our voices. So they came to? They came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to what? Drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. And over, what did he do? He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who what? Sold doves. So he not only overthrew tables, he overthrew seats. We're going to get to that in a second. Hallelujah. 16. And he would not, somebody say not, allow. Say not allow. Say devil, you're not allowed here. Say devil, you're not allowed here. Your influence is not allowed here. Not in my body, not in my mind, not in my family, not in my children, not in my home. You are not allowed. Say you're not allowed. Say you're not allowed. 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 You are not allowed. Ukorokoski tebruska tarelebes kandadabasaya. Then he taught, saying, it is written, my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. For how many? How many? We decree and declare this church, all nations church, in the name of Jesus. Coast to coast and around the world shall be represented in the name of Jesus. The people of God will love and care and serve each other in the name of Jesus. Stop looking for people you're comfortable around and start loving people. Stop looking at people where they come from and love people. Stop looking to see if you're from the same country and love people. Stop looking for see if you eat the same food and start loving people. But you have made it. You have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. Why? They feared him. Because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out the city. Father, we thank you today. And we give you the praise. We give you the thanks. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. You are God. And we worship you. You are God. There is none like you. You are the I am that I am that I am that I am. You have the final say. And we are your servants. We are your sons. We are your daughter. And we walk in the name of Jesus and no other name today. In the name of Jesus. And we give you praise. And we give you thanks. And we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you all the praise, because you are worthy. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God as you take your seats. Hallelujah. Here we see Jesus. He entered Jerusalem. And as you would listen or you would read your Bible, you would see Jesus would go to the synagogue teaching week after week after week. But there were synagogues which were like local places of assembly and social life. But then there was the temple of the living God. And the temple of God was in Jerusalem. And Jesus took a visit. Well, this is coming down to the final days before he goes to the cross. And he goes into the temple and he observes what is happening in the temple. When he walked into the temple, he did not see or hear men praising, worshiping, adoring, crying out for the presence of God, but instead he was welcomed by men that were selling, that were merchandising. The focus was not on the presence of God. The focus was on everything but God. The focus was on profit. The focus was on elevating the financial status of various people. The focus was on money changing. Now, if you had traveled outside of Jerusalem to come to worship in the temple, you would have to then change your currency to temple currency. Back in the days when you travel, you had to exchange money. You then couldn't use your credit card overseas. These days, it's so much easier, right? You have an international card, you could swipe it anyway. But back in the days, when you went to the local country or you go back home from America, you had to change money. Anybody remember that? And you look for the best rate. Isn't that true? You find out, oh, the bank gives this rate, but then there's a guy on the street that's actually giving a better rate. Who do you go to? The man on the street, because you're going to get more. But in the temple, the money changers, they were the exclusive cambio. They were the only place where you could have changed to get temple currency. And what did they do? They were extortioners. They were robbing the people, and they were taking excess exchange rate. So their profit margin was very high. So when Jesus saw that irked his spirit. Not only that, they were selling in the temple. Now, it is not wrong to sell in the church. That's not what this is talking about. But this was talking on the focus not being on God. The focus was out of whack. You know, and as I was meditating on this scripture, I thought, I'm like, Jesus knew what the temple should look like. Why? It was not his first time in the temple. And yes, you reflect back to when he was 12. He went to the temple. That's not what we're talking about. He was the one that would come down when they would sing praises. He was the one that would descend when they begin to worship. As he got into the temple, he remembered the original purpose why the temple was set up. There was a man by the name of David that after God blessed him and God favored him and God increased his name and God gave him rest from his enemies and God gave him a beautiful house and God sent men from all across the nations of the world to provide what he needed for his house. He looked at his house and he says, I dwell in a fine house. I dwell in a beautiful house, but the presence of God Almighty dwells in a tent. And he says, I cannot allow that based on my love for him. You see, a lot of times you ask people why they do things for people. Sometimes they can't give you the answer, but it's because they what? Love them. Why do you worship God so much? Because I love him. Why do you praise God so much? Because I love him. Why do you dance? Why do you jump? Why do you shout? Why do you run? Oh no, I'm like David. I'm in love with my maker. David was bringing back the tabernacle. He was bringing the tabernacle back from the house of Obed-Edom. And my God, he put the priests in front. He put the musicians in front. And he said, play the music. Play the harp. Play the symbols. Let it be loud. Because God dwells when you praise. So they were praising and they were bringing the presence of God back to where the king lived. They were bringing back the glory because the Bible says as long as the presence of God or the ark of the Lord dwelt in Obed-Edom's house, what happened? The man was blessed. So David was not envious, but David wanted the blessing. Not only the physical blessing, but he wanted presence. A lot of time we want God's hand, but we don't want nothing to do with him. We want him to do this. We want him to do that. No, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek for. Not the money, not the fame, not the triumph over my enemy. No, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I believe God is looking for some people that would say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will remain planted, rooted, settled in his house forever. If you come looking for me at home and you can't find me, the best place to guess is I'm a church. I am in the presence of God. I'm where they're exalting him on the keyboard. I'm where they were banging the cymbals, where they're banging the drums, where the choir is singing melody to the Lord. That's where you can find me. If it reflects how he would go and lay under the wings of the cherubims. For those who may not know, at the end of the Ark of the Covenant, or on top, I should say, there were two angels. Not physical or angels or spiritual angels, but they made replicas of what an angel looked like. How do you know what angel looked like? Can I give you some info? God took Moses up. And read the book of Exodus. He took him up to glory. And he showed him what the tabernacle looked like. You see, we think we're engaging in a lot of normal things. We're engaging in spiritual things. We're engaging in supernatural things. When you come into the house of God, you can expect supernatural transactions to take place. So God showed him, and God showed him how the angels should be made. So David understood what he was hanging out in. The shadows he was hanging out in was supernatural shadows. That's why he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the what? Shadows. So when the man writes, the man is writing from revelation. The man is writing from high understanding that the common mind cannot comprehend, because the Bible clearly says the things of the spirit are foolishness to those that are perishing. Perishing means you are outside of Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're dead. Because he that had the Son had life. He who does not have the Son does not have life, and the wrath of God abides with him. So if you want to come out of the wrath of God, the fastest way is to call upon the name of the Lord and surrender your life. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. So David said, we got to get back the presence of God where we live. We got to get back the presence of God where we dwell. You see, the presence of God can mess some people up. Oh, but God is good. No, I want to tell you, when the wicked mess with the presence of God, he could cause all kinds of things to happen to them. Plagues can come. You try messing and working with things you shouldn't touch. When some people touch the ark, they drop dead because they were outside of protocol. When the Philistines captured the ark and they put it in the temple of Dagon, what? That Dagon fell down. They came, they put him back up. The next morning they came back. God is like, don't worry. Dagon is down. His head is off. The presence of God beheads things. I said the presence of God beheads things. The things you're trying to get rid of, get the presence of God in there. And watch God behead the devil. Watch God behead the demons. Watch God behead the strongholds. We need to stop playing. And start engaging the presence of God. So David said, God is too good to me. God is too faithful to me. I have a nice house. But God's presence, the Ark of the Covenant, is in a tent. And he said, I must move this Ark into a more beautiful place. That's why we desire for churches to look nice. That's why we desire that churches should be beautiful. Churches should have a look. Churches should be prestigious. Churches should be the finest place on the block. But a lot of times we say we got to build our house. I want to tell you, David was on God's agenda and God built his house. I want to tell you my story. I've been on God's agenda since I was a teenager. I've been living for God. I've been serving God. I've been giving my life into the service of God. Anything that needed to happen in the church, I did everything you could think about. The only thing left for me to lick the floor with my tongue. Because anything that was needed to be done, I did it. Everything. Because what? With my parents pioneered this church. So when this church started, it was only like 5-6 of us. So we have to do every single thing. What you're sitting today is 25 years in the making. In November, we're going to celebrate 25 years of the goodness of God. Money going all around the world, changing lives, making a difference. Toys going all around the world, putting smiles on people's face. So, I would do anything. And I want to tell you, mothers, last night I was listening to a great preacher and she was talking about the prayer of a mother. And my mother would pray for me and she would say, God, bless my son with a new house because he don't know to fix anything. Bless him with a new house because he don't know to fix anything. So that was her prayer. I want to tell you, mothers, you need to turn up your prayer for your kids. And you need to turn up your prayer for your children. Stop being quiet. Stop being quiet. Stop being quiet. Open up your mouth. Don't look at what you see. See in the spirit. See with the eyes of the spirit. And guess what? When it was time for us to buy our house, we look at this house. Our Pastor Cheryl still mocks me with this. She said, oh, you went to pay for this house, it didn't work. Oh, you went to pay for this house and it didn't work. But guess what? When she went to see the house, it was a brand new house. We didn't have to do anything. All we had to do was move in. Nobody had embraced that house. Nobody had lived there. Nobody had lived there. You know what that is? That is the goodness of God. That is the blessings of the Lord. The Bible says the blessings of the Lord, they make rich. And they add what? That is the goodness of God. You want to see God's goodness? You see, you young men, you guys are going to be so blessed. People are going to go crazy to want to know how you're so blessed. Because you're like David. From a young man, he played the harp. He sang to the Lord. He danced before God. He worshiped God. Young ladies are going to be so blessed because you've given God. The Bible says, serve your creator in the days of your youth while the evil days come not. Oh my God. God is going to reward you. And if God has been so good to me, all I can do is seek to build a beautiful church for God. If I gotta fast 40 days, I'm gonna fast 40 days. If I can't eat 7 days, I'm gonna not eat 7 days. Because guess what? The favor of God is for a lifetime. The favor of God is from one generation to another generation. When when you serve God, you're setting up your family line. When you serve God, you're setting up your children for increase. You're setting up your grandchildren for increase. That when you look back, you're going to say, my God has been good. Man looks at qualification. God looks at faithfulness. Man looks at what university you went to. God looks to the amount of surrender that you have. God looks at the amount of obedience that you have. God looks at how the posture of your heart is. Because man looks where? On the outside. But what does God see? God sees your heart. God answers the cries of your heart. Mighty God. So, Jesus, back to David. David says, I got to build God a great house. And the Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. I'm going to read quick. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifice. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. That was the temple that David desired to build for God. So he built the temple. Rather his son, because God said, David, you can't build a temple. You got too much blood on your hand. You've done certain things that you should not have done. And I am going to cause your son to build me this house. But David said, hold on, daddy. He's going to build it. But I will acquire everything for it. He didn't leave the acquisition of materials to his son. Because he had a vision in his heart what he was going to build for God. And he gathered all the gold. And he gathered all the timber. And he gathered all the stone. So when it was time to put it together, everything was available in abundance. And now it was dedication time. And here they are. The people have gathered with anticipation and celebration. They were in a festive mode. And they were ready to give God praise for the great temple that was built. You see, the house of God should not be seen as just walls. The house of God should not be treated like a regular place. The house of God should be treated as a sacred place because it is dedicated unto the purpose of God. Let me tell you, when you misuse sacred things, you end up in trouble. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, he said, bring me the articles that came from the temple. And he said, let's drink wine and let's celebrate. I tell you, God, the presence of God, don't mess with it. The Bible says a hand came and wrote on the wall. That is judgment. Judgment stepped in because he misused the sacred thing. So now I'm going. They gathered together and they were getting ready to worship God. And they were getting ready to dedicate the temple. And the Bible says, after Solomon had finished what? Praying. What he did? Finish praying. The fire came down from where? Heaven. Fire came down from where? Heaven. Fire represents the presence of the Holy Ghost. I say fire represents the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? The fire came down and consumed the burnt offering, mean God received the fragrance. God received the fragrance. If the fire had rejected the sacrifice, it wasn't received. I let that sink in. If the fire did not consume, it was rejected. But here, God received it. God's heart was pleased. God's heart was blessed. And then it went further. It said the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now, who was that filled the temple? It was Jesus himself that filled the temple. That's why when Jesus walked into the temple and he saw the temple being misused for selling, for robbery, for misuse, he was angry. And he said, my house, I remembered in 2 Chronicles 7, was a house of what? Prayer. My house was a place that pleased me. My house was a place that made me joyful. My house was a place that made me move out of my seat in heaven and descended into among men. That's what the house of God should do. That why you think we pray, let your kingdom what? Come. Let your kingdom what? Let your kingdom what? Let your kingdom what? Let your kingdom come. The glory. So Jesus was in their midst. And you read further. Let's read verse 2. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord. Why? Who was there? The Lord was in the house. The glory of the Lord filled the house. The priest was supposed to go in and minister and dance and praise and worship and give more honor. But God was so pleased with the aroma and the state of the heart of the people that he came down in their midst. I want to say, ask you a question today. If God looks at you, will he be pleased? Will he be ready to come down? Or will he say, I'm going to bless you from afar. I'm going to give you your food, I'm going to give you your clothes, but the fellowshipping thing, we ain't ready for that, because you're grieving me, you're quenching me, oh, you're throwing water on the spirit. I want to tell you today, let God be pleased with you. Let God be pleased so that his glory can come in your life. His glory can be manifested in you. You become a picture of the supernatural. You become a picture of heaven that when people see you, they say there is something about you. There is something about you. And we see the blessings, the favor, the increase that is upon your life. Solomon was so blessed that when the kings of the earth traveled to see what he had, they were in shock. And they were in awe. You know what the Queen of Sheba said? She said, blessed are you that work among him every day and have the privilege of hearing such wisdom. The Queen of Sheba. She said, you servants are fortunate. I wish my ears could be tuned to this frequency every day. I wish that I had the privilege of being in Solomon's presence, because where did it wisdom came from? It came from God. When God says, Solomon, what do you want? He said, Lord, give me the wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me. I want to tell you today, James chapter 1 says, if anyone wants wisdom, let him ask. I want to tell you, it's time to ask God for what you don't have. He says, ask and it shall be what? Given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be what? Open. And the scripture goes further. He said, everyone that knocks, receive. Everyone that asks, receive. Amen. So the glory of God, meaning Jesus, took a trip to the temple before. And when he saw what was going on, he personalized it and he says, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. My and my Father are one. He said, this house should be what? A house of prayer. But you have what? Turned it. You have made it. You have made it. My house shall be called what? A house of prayer for all nations. It's not a white church. It's not a black church. It's not a brown church. It's not a yellow church. It's not a red church. But it's a church for all. It is a church for everyone. It is a place where everyone can come and buy. He said, come buy bread without money. Come buy wine without money. You don't have to have a status. All you gotta do is come as you are and say, Lord, I want you. I want your touch. I want to hear this word. I want to sing your song. I want to dance for you. Everyone, all are welcome. Jesus walked in. And when he saw what happened, he did not say, it's okay.
He didn't say, oh, you know, times have changed. He didn't say, you know, it's a new era now. You know, a lot of times we treat church in eras. And we say, oh, we don't do that anymore in church. And you know what is it you don't do? We don't sing no more loud. We don't shout no more. We don't run no more. We don't dance no more. Listen, you got to open your Bible and read it properly. The Bible said when David danced, he danced so bad. He danced with such abandon. You see, well, we picture ourselves after the world. Rather, we mirror the world. Not picture, we mirror the world. The world says, go to church, be quiet, and then go home. Oh, we went to church. We're like holy people, you know? We're like an upstanding family. And, you know, my grandmother went to church. My mom went to church. All my aunts. And even, oh, my God, my uncle is a pastor. Ever heard people tell you those things? Yeah, oh, my grandfather's a pastor. When you try to tell them about Jesus, they tell you about position in the church. We rebuke that spirit. We pray that men will be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ. So Jesus said, this cannot go on. I remembered when my people prayed and I descended in my glory that they could not even go in and minister anymore. And not, he didn't leave them where they were. A lot of times we look at people in sin and we leave them. We look at the devil taking advantage over our family members and we leave them. We look at demons coming. Can I have this chair? Demons come and they sit in your family. They sit in your house. They sit on your marriage. They sit on your children. They sit on your money. They sit on your business. They sit on your children's education. They can't go further. Ah, no, no, no. I want to tell somebody, it's time to get up and say, not here, you dirty devil. Out you go. Leave my house. It is time to overthrow something. The Bible says from the time of John the Baptist to now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. To overturn something, it takes force. It takes force. But we are passive, church. We are passive. We have lost our Pentecostalism. We have lost our fire. What separated the church was Pentecost. What separated the church from the old tradition was Pentecost. The Bible said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And it shook the place where they all were. They felt, and the Bible says, what sat on them was cloven tongues of fire. Fire comes to burn. Fire comes to shape. If you want to get a piece of steel to look a certain way, you put it at a certain degree in a certain amount of fire and you can shape it. I want to tell you the fire of the Holy Ghost will reshape your life, will reshape your house, will reshape your family, will reshape your destiny, will take things that are out of order and put it in order. But I want to tell you, you got to overthrow some devils. You got to overthrow. You see, a lot of times we don't want to overthrow because it might be offensive. You got to get ready to offend spirits. I say you got to get ready to offend spirits. You got to get ready to offend some devils. You know, and the devil is so crafty and cunning, he works through people. Hello? Majority of the time, the devil works through people. Elymas is a man by the name of Elymas in the book of Acts, who was a sorcerer. And he was coming. And he won the power. He won the power. But mighty God, Paul looked at him and he said, Elymas, you don't have nothing among us. He shut down the demon. And the Bible says right away, blindness fell upon him. A lot of times we don't want to put fire for fire. We don't want to put fire for Let me tell you, you think the devil is coming to be nice to you? You think the devil is coming to be nice to your children? You think the devil is coming to be nice to your spouse? The devil will give your husband some lust in his heart. It doesn't matter how fine you are. You stay powdering in the mirror. He will leave you with some ugly girl and go away. And you want to know, what's wrong with this man? And the whole community wants to know what's wrong with this man. The devil came in and the devil sat. And you saw the signs of him sitting. You saw the signs. And you were saying, oh, he's going to change. Ah, he's going to get out of this. Ah, he started following the crew that sleep out. And you said, ah, he's not going to become like them. But little by little by little, the devil sat on him and took his reasoning away. Took his reasoning away and eats up the prophetic word and all the promises of God, where now he becomes blind. But I came to tell somebody, it's time to overthrow the enemy. This is not for theatrics. This is to show you what you got to do. You got to get ready to flip some chairs. You got to get ready to flip some tables. Jesus said, this is out the walk. It must go. It must change. The kingdom suffers violence, but the violent takes it by force. Christians are forceful people. I said Christians are forceful people. We don't sit around and watch the enemy do what he wants to do in our home. We open our mouth and we bind. We bind. The Bible said, whatsoever you bind on earth, too often you see it, but you don't bind it. You wait for it to play out. I said you wait for it to play out. And when it plays out, it is too late. It is too late. We need to flip some tables of frustration and tell the devil, the peace of God surpasses understanding. It guards my heart and my mind. And you can't be petty with the devil. You got to flip the table of frustration. You got to flip the table of misery. You got to flip it. Flip the table of poverty. Say, God has given me gifts and talents. God has given me ideas. God has given me the power to get wealth. I flip the table of poverty. Because poverty makes you live substandard. Are you with me? Poverty causes you to live substandard. God has a plan. He says every good and every perfect thing comes from God. Every good, everything that's in your life that's not good, you need to flip it. I say you need to flip it and say get out. The Bible said Jesus went in and he flipped the tables and he flipped their seats. It's time for you to take back your home and it's time for you to stop playing around. You see, a lot of times we entertain sickness. I want to tell you, flip the table of sickness. Every day you wake up, say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? They say cancer kill you, but it shall not kill me. People die of diabetic complications, but I am not one of them. So, what did Jesus do? He flipped the tables. He flipped the seats of the money changers. And he got them out. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have turned it into a den of thieves. I want to tell you, if Jesus should come to our church, he might flip some things. If he come into our church, he's going to look for some things and he's going to flip them.
And he's going to get rid of them. He's going to flip bad mind. He's going to flip envy. He's going to flip gossip. He's going to flip slander. He's going to flip them. He's going to flip them because he sees the heart. We see on the outside, God sees the heart. He sees, he will flip the table of indifference. He will flip the table of passivity, having lack of zeal for God, having lack of zeal for the knowledge of God. He's going to flip the table of ignorance. Because he knows that ignorance will kill us. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Knowledge of the Almighty. Today God wants to flip some tables. But I want to tell you, more so, he wants you to flip some tables. God is in the, he did it. He went in and he dealt with it. But today I want to tell you, God wants you. Just take a moment and introspect in your own life. Take a moment. Look deep down. Look at some things you need to overthrow. Look at some things that you need to overthrow in your life. Maybe you need to overthrow prayerlessness. You see, the word prayer, the root word for the word prayer is the word worship. It came out of the word worship. A lot of times we don't want to worship God. We don't want to burn as incense. No wonder we don't see glory. No wonder we don't encounter and feel the presence of God. You look at other people having great encounters. You're like, I want encounters. I want to tell you, you begin surrendering. You begin worshiping. This young lady, stand up. Casey was saying, I want an encounter with God. I want an authentic encounter with the Lord. Turn around, let them see you. And she said, I see people having encounters. I see people having encounters. But she said, I have been coming to church, but I want an encounter. We're going to put up her testimony and you're going to listen to it. But one day she had her own personal encounter. You know why? She surrendered to God. So before she got her encounter, she flipped the table of ignorance and she got studying the word. She got praying. She got worshiping. And the knowledge of God filled her. And now the devil had to go because tables were being flipped. Seats were being flipped. He couldn't sit there. He couldn't stand around there. He couldn't transact business in her life. And guess what? The glory of God filled her. And she encountered. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you. I believe God wants to take us to another level. That's why he had us listen to these two sermons the last 2 weeks. Righteous anger is to do something. God wants to take us far. God wants to take us far. God wants to take us far. Don't give the enemy a seat in your life. Overthrow. Tables represent places of transaction. That's why he flipped the table to end the transactions. Don't let the enemy have a place of transaction in you. Let the tables be flipped. In order for Jesus to flip tables, he had to put force. He had to put what? Force. Force is what you use to pull, to push, to get something done. You have to apply what? What you have to apply? So when the enemy comes in, the Bible says, like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard. When a flood comes, it doesn't come. Nicey nice. Like a calm stream. Floods come and they move what's in their way. Floods come, they move. You ever seen when a hurricane comes? The water comes in around. Force. Cars normally roll on wheels, become boats. Houses that had foundation gone sailing because of the flood. I want to tell you, let the Holy Ghost flood your life. Let the Holy Ghost flood your life. Let the Holy Ghost flood your life today. And get angry and do something. Don't let the enemy run rampant over you. Don't let the enemy discourage you. Don't let the enemy back you up into a wall. Don't let the enemy make you feel small. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you. Greater is in who? Come on, who? Who? Greater is in you than he that is in the world. Who is in the world? The devil is in the world. So all that you need is within you. But what you must do is engage. Engage. You could have the best car with the best rev. Vroom, vroom. Anybody ever hear a Ferrari? You ever pull up alongside a Lamborghini and when it hit that gas, it make your car shake? Anybody ever experience that? Or a nice Corvette, the Z whatever, when they hit that, you're like, what? Rumble! That's how you must be. When the enemy come next to you, you hit the gas and the Holy Ghost. He wants to know what hit him, but you amplify. You flip the tables on him. You flip the seats and you say, not here, devil. Not in my life. Not on my watch. Jesus was not only angry, but he did something. The enemy loves passivity. The enemy wants you to go to heaven, but he don't want you to ruffle his camp. You with me? Number one, he don't want you to go to heaven. Let me say this. But if he can't stop you from believing in Jesus, he wants you to fold your hands. And he wants you to be quiet and to be timid. But I came to deal with that spirit. And I bind every spirit of deception that sits on the minds of the people. I pray that the word, the entrance of the word will bring light and illumination. That from today, you're going to start observing your life. You're going to observe areas in your life that are out of whack. And you're going to flip the chair. And you're going to flip the table. And you're going to say, not here, devil. You're not going to manipulate outcomes in my life. I'm a child of God. And the Bible said, they that know their God, they shall be what? Strong. They shall do exploits, great, magnanimous things, because they're empowered by the Spirit of God. Let us